Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
A singer in a smoky room, the smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile they can share the night. It goes on and on and on and on.
I just think we should let Journey play. I don't think we should talk at all. 5:10 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and yesterday, John and I had an opportunity to go over to Santa Rosa County for the Emergency Operations Center exercise, activation exercise for the Hurricane Zelma, a Category 4 hurricane, and had a chance to interview the Director of Public Safety, Tom Lloyd, about the hurricane, hurricane preparedness, and other related matters.
So today is our annual hurricane exercise. We bring all of our partners, partner agencies into our building today, and then work through a small scenario, and then basically we try and test out all of our equipment, identify any gaps that we may have, and if we have any weaknesses, and also highlight our strengths, so that in the event that we do have some type of natural disaster that happens, obviously as we're going into hurricane season, that being the most glooming one, we can identify that and fix it, and basically everybody gets a chance to meet each other before disaster day.
Describe the disaster you're dealing with.
Sure. So today is a hurricane-based scenario that we're doing. And what does that look like? Okay, if a hurricane were to hit Santa Rosa County, it would also impact areas around us, so Okaloosa and Escambia County. And inside, we've got our team members that are working through whatever problems may arise from a hurricane, whether that be power lines down, trees down, intrusion into homes, flooding, storm surge, aerial flooding, river flooding, search and rescue type missions, any scenario that you could think of, we're throwing at them today. And then they're going to work through that as a team to hopefully find resolution.
Zelma? Does that mean that we're late in the season?
It is late in the season. What does that mean when we're late in the season? The majority of the time, the water is warmer, so we tend to see stronger storms. And then also, that was not on the list that was released this year, so we could say it's a fake storm. So,
in the Category 4, right? So a massive storm.
And massive storm, huge storm, slow-moving storm. You know, basically our job is to create the worst-case scenario and then throw this at our team to hopefully, not to highlight failures, but to find things that we can break so that we can come back stronger.
So what kind of like surge, rainfall, what's the scenario that they're dealing with? Did it come right up the river? What are they encountering?
So the storm scenario that they're dealing with today is massive storm surge, riverine flooding, surge over Navarre Beach, multiple structures that are damaged, search and rescue operations, as well as firefighting operations. And then we'll transition into recovery. Obviously we do this very quickly. And in the real world type scenario, this may be months of us working through this, but we'll work through the actual impacts that happen and then into what does it look like when we host volunteer operations to be able to come in and help our community get back on its feet. How do we help the citizen navigate some of their, whether it be some type of reclaim for their property? How do we get their property built back better? And we bring nonprofits as well as host different events throughout the community to be able to put them with the right partners.
How many people that are in there are doing this for the first time? What's your share of newbies?
I would say probably about a third of them are relatively new. And then we do have some very seasoned individuals, and those are in, obviously, leadership roles. They've been through it. They're tried. They're tested. And that's who we want leading. We definitely want someone that's been through the storm to lead the efforts in there.
And they get evaluated, right?
The performance is graded
and yes. Feedback and correction.
Yep, absolutely. So as we're working through the exercise, we do have my operations chief, logistics chief, plans chief, as well as we do have some administration, and then we have some other evaluators that are going around. And then if there is, you know, unfortunately, there may be egregious error, we stop and we take a look at it and peel it apart as a group, as a team, and then find the teaching, coaching moment out of it, and then go ahead and re-initiate the exercise.
You know, with Escambia doing their annual about a week and a half ago, you guys are doing yours. Every
yes.
county kind of does their own.
Yes.
It suddenly strikes me that there's never a storm that hits a county. A storm hits an area.
Correct.
And that seems to offer inefficiencies and opportunities for collaboration. We know in cleanup afterwards, there's lots of collaboration, but how do the counties and the emergency response systems work together at the storm incident itself?
So we are in constant communication. I hate to highlight it, but that is the number one failure in most situations, is the lack of or incorrect communication, improper communication that happens. So we, throughout the year, constantly communicate with Escambia counties and Okaloosa County, as well as even Walton County, and then into Mobile. We set up, I would say, a coordination group that we, as the EM directors and public safety directors, have constant flow of communication as to what our team is doing. Escambia knows that if they have something that happens and their team has to go out, my team is going to follow behind them at the EOC, and vice versa here. The same with Okaloosa. So we back each other up. Again, as you identified, if something happens, it's going to be regionally. And we know that we're all going to be in the fight together. We also know that we are all going to be working with the same resources. So we're in constant communication that if a resource or a person is needed in one area, once that's done, it's released, and the next group can use it. But there is a constant flow of communication, especially during hurricane season.
So from you to the state, from you to Travis over at Escambia, you
Absolutely.
Guys are always talking and sharing information.
Always talking, yep.
From a citizen's point of view, this is obviously the professional's response point of view. From a citizen's point of view, what's the thing we do the dumbest that makes it the hardest for your guys to properly manage at the storm and then after the storm?
So I would say one of the most difficult things is when we issue or we share watches and warnings and we ask our citizens to evacuate, people don't. And that tends to create incredible life safety risks. If we issue an evacuation order, whether that is for surge, whether that is for aerial flooding, or wind with a hurricane, we ask that you adhere to that. We also understand that you want to come back into your community to see how your property did. That in itself creates some issues, because we as responders are not able to get out into the community because sometimes, the amount of traffic and the amount of looky-loos, if you will, that get congested in an area can prohibit some of our life safety activities.
You guys are in the process of expanding your 911, your dispatch center, creating
yes.
a whole new facility for that instead of it being part of this. How is that going to change emergency response, free up resources? What's that going to do for you?
So, number one, the goal will be to hopefully expand our EOC. As Santa Rosa County is ever growing and is growing rapidly, the need and the demand for emergency services and restoration crews, as well as people that are going to put the infrastructure back together, is increasing. So as I'm sure some of this footage is going to reveal, that room is packed. There is standing room only. That'll allow the EOC to get bigger. And then with the new dispatch center, it will also put all the players at the same table. So the goal is a dispatch center that encompasses all of emergency services and law enforcement in one building. And that flow of communication, as I described earlier in there, will go in every direction, as opposed to being siloed. Everybody will be in the same place together to create some pretty big efficiencies.
And last one for me anyway is, it's an accelerated time schedule. It's an hour exercise.
Yes.
Is that 12 hours real time? What are you trying to compress?
So we compress 24 hours roughly into just a few hours. And we know that it is interesting to watch. We know that not every problem is going to be solved. But imagine if I had you working on a puzzle and halfway through I just took it away from you. That creates a lot of gridlock. You will watch it in our ESF. So we'll say, okay, we're on to the next thing. And they were so close. Maybe they were at that last piece of the puzzle to put in, and we watched that frustration. And again, that is also part of the exercise. So we can't create the true stress that will be there during a storm. But we do what we can to kind of tip the nozzle forward just a little bit to create as much stress as we can.
One other quick one to make me think. We asked what the citizens do dumb that gets in the way. What do we do dumb? I mean, we're the media. We are obviously here to help, serve the public, help you guys. So what can we do better?
I am glad that you asked that. I will tell you, and I say this constantly, as our citizens, the one thing that I can implore them to do is go to trusted media sources. Mm. And we have that. We're fortunate to have that in this area. So whether it's Cat Country, whether it's Channel 3, whether it's you on the radio, whatever that looks like, you are trusted. We trust you to get our information out, which is the right information. We trust the National Weather Service. Why? Because they are the leader of the pack in that business. So when you get on social media and you see, and it happens every hurricane season, you see all these posts of there's a low in the Gulf and there's this and there's that. I urge you to go to trusted media sources. And that, I think, is what you do right. The information that you share comes from us. It comes from trusted sources as well. We have yet to see a situation where you have not shared something that we need shared. And there's never been a roadblock, and we just truly appreciate the relationship that we have with each one of you.
Fake news proliferates in crises on social media.
Fear creates
more
fear
than you could ever imagine.
Correct. Correct.
Tom, thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. 520 here on News Radio 92.3. So again, that was Tom Lloyd, the Director of Public Safety at the Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Center during the hurricane exercise yesterday, where we got to meet a bunch of people some old friends, some new friends, some listeners. John, some people that you had never met before but came up to you and said, "We know you, you're..."
The traffic on the 5 guy. I was like, well... okay.
There
yes.
we are. That's
there
right.
There we are.
That's right. Oh, man. It's good times. It's like a family reunion, although a lot of the people in the family are really, really busy doing something really, really hard.
Yes.
And then the rest of us are going through a very, very light version of the training exercise with some of the just, you know, media and public relations folks, and they're unveiling the events of the hurricane as, let's see, the first one was that there was looting in Navarre.
Looting yes.
in Navarre. What's the sheriff's office going to do? And most of us had the opinion that if there's reports of looting in Navarre, then there will be reports of citizens armed in Navarre.
Oh, yes, for sure.
That problem will take care of itself pretty fast.
It will.
And and actually somebody who was in the room said that's exactly what happened during Sally is, you know, there was concerns. There were some reports of people in the neighborhood that shouldn't have been there. There were soon reports of a bunch of people in the neighborhood with AR-15s and the reports of the other people seemed to dry up pretty quick.
I know.
Yeah, funny that.
Kind of quick.
So, you know, having an armed population has a value in a crisis. Doesn't have to be an invasion. And then the other one they did, Gulf Breeze loses power and storm and sewer management and all that. And then what do you do? And then the Whiting Field had some buildings damaged, I think,
yes.
in the hypothetical for a
yes.
Category 4. So anyway, anything you learned yesterday that
I learned? Wow. there was a lot to learn because you see all these people in their different roles mm-hmm. and how we all work together for the one goal.
But there's
a lot of people that I'm just like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how all these people can come together, do their jobs, as Bill Belichick says, mm-hmm. It blew my mind a lot of times.
I think it's also a reminder because what you see is, like, in this room, you've got, 60 people, maybe, short of 100, but more than 50.
Right.
People who are all doing their various ESF assignments, that's the emergency designation assignments, how many people make the county run that you don't see?
No, you don't.
You know that.
Then I got to meet.
Right.
You know?
Right. And those aren't by any stretch all the county employees or all the representatives of all the agencies that are in this room. Same thing in Escambia. You know, is how many people make these counties run that you never see, and that there's always new people. I mean, one of the things I've asked both Tom and Travis Tompkins, the emergency manager in Escambia County, is, you know, how many newbies in these exercises, and about a third in both cases. Which I think is can you imagine, you know, being a brand new person and you're in the emergency operations center for a hurricane, you know, you're just new on the job, you've never done this before, and here you are. Well, that's why they do the exercise, so that if, God forbid, we get a storm event here or, you know, a train derailment or, you know, there's all kinds of things that can happen, then it's not their first time. It's their first time for real, but it's their second time with a practice run. And they both were emphatic. Both emergency managers were emphatic that people get correction, they get guidance. If they did it wrong, they get told they did it wrong, because you know we're talking about people's lives and livelihoods and homes, and you know it's not a situation where there's a lot of margin for just incompetence. And so they want to make sure you know what you're doing.
You know, I think the biggest thing in the media room was that I noticed that there was 4 new ladies that mm-hmm. did social media.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they do. They comb social media. They debunk all the rumors. I mean, it is, their jobs are amazing.
Yeah. I mean, not specifically for Santa Rosa
right.
County, but for different agencies who have
yes.
to deal with that. Right. Oh God. Yeah. And that thing he said at the end about, you know, trusted sources, reliable mm-hmm. sources. Oh my God, the last place you want to look for information during a storm is social media, TikTok. I mean, TikTok's bad every day. TikTok right. is extra stupid bad during an emergency. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, or you just, maybe you just want to bounce some ideas. I mean, maybe you've like, for the longest time you thought, I'd like to pick up a vacation rental and see if I can make some money at it. I mean, that's a fairly common thing that people consider. You know, maybe you've seen these TV shows and, oh, look at all the money I can make on a fix and flip. You know, looks easy for them. Why don't I try that? Okay, maybe you can. But why don't you ask somebody who's got experience with this, who will be eager to take your call? Because it's not like you can, you know, call up Christina Almusra, you know, and ask her, right, what she thinks. But you can call Christina Leavenworth and ask her and say, hey, you know, I'm thinking, I always hear Andrew talking about you, and he says, I can just call you with my questions, and, you know, can I make money on a vacation rental in Pensacola, on the beach, in town, where, what works, you know? And she'll talk to you about that. What are the current rates? What are people asking when they're selling these rentals that they've already got in the inventory and they just don't want to have it anymore for whatever reason? Why are they selling? I mean, if it's a good way to make money, why are they selling? Like, all, you know, just, you can ask your questions, and then she'll have answers, and then you can make a good decision. So make a friend, find a good realtor, and get expert advice on whatever decision you're thinking about making related to real estate. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 786-3996.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text EQUAL to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text EQUAL to 321-321. That's EQUAL to 321-321.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Okay, wait. If you guys are really us, what number are we thinking of? 69, dudes!
It's such a great movie. 528 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The feud between President Trump and Elon Musk is really turning into something
else. Oh, my God.
Isn't it? After Musk took aim at the big, beautiful bill this week, there's been more back and forth. Escalated a little bit, you might say, yesterday with Musk posting that Trump couldn't have won the election without his help and backed the idea of impeaching him and replacing him with J.D. Vance. He also accused Trump of being linked to the Epstein files.
Yeah, Trump responded by saying he would have won easily without Musk. He also threatened to pull all of Musk's government contracts, said that Musk knew what was in the bill. Why did he oppose it? Musk said he didn't know what was in the bill. Trump says he's only opposed to the bill because it had the EV mandate cuts in it, which, of course, benefit electric vehicle manufacturers like Tesla. Musk says, you know, no big deal, leave those in. He alleges that Trump's in the Epstein files. You've got the he ought to be impeached. Then you've got Steve Bannon saying that they ought to check on the immigration status of Elon Musk. He thinks he's illegal and they should deport him. I'm just like, in one day.
Yeah.
We went fast from bro to deport him. Wow. That was fast, you know. All I could hear in my head was the Prince song. This is what it sounds like when billionaires cry. Oh, man, look out your window. It's gorgeous out this morning. Vivid red sunrise this morning. Look east, young man.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa, the leader of the free world. President Trump at odds with the world's richest man.
Elon and I had a great relationship. I don't know if we're well anymore.
Fox's Brooke Sangman has more this morning from Elon Musk.
The Tesla CEO continued his attacks on Trump's big, beautiful bill, but then he took it to a whole new level, saying he thought Trump should be impeached and replaced by J.D. Vance. Musk also said, quote, without me, Trump would have lost the election.
Some House Republicans accusing Musk going too far, suggesting President Trump was in the Epstein files. Texas Congressman Chip Roy telling Fox News Digital Elon crossed the line today. It's the 81st anniversary of the liberation of Europe. D-Day ceremonies in Normandy, France, at the cemetery on the beach where the end of Nazi rule began in this fierce battle. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. Absolutely gorgeous morning out there right now. It is 76 degrees in Pensacola. Okaloosa County deputies say they've identified two potential suspects after concrete and eggs were thrown from an overpass and damaged some vehicles yesterday. Now, these items were thrown from the I-10 overpass on Wilderson Bluff Road in Okaloosa County, hit two vehicles. Officials do say, luckily, nobody was seriously hurt. Officials believe children were the likely culprits, but they are still working to confirm that. The damaged vehicles included a box truck that had a cement block smashed through its windshield and land in the cabin, and another car that was behind it that was hit by debris. Investigators say they were able to track footprints from that scene. They have an idea who's responsible, but they want everybody involved to come forward. Those involved could face felony charges. The Escambia Board of Commissioners has approved the sale of the OLF-8 property in Beulah that was purchased by Tri-W Development, Chad Henderson Enterprises, for $42.5 million. The deal could close as soon as next year. That is, if everything goes well with inspections and due diligence. Commissioners called it one of the biggest economic development deals in county history. The OLF-8 saga, of course, has now been ongoing for several years. The county first acquired the property from the Navy in 2019. There's some big changes on the way for Escambia County's mass transit system. It's evolving into a microtransit system. If you're wondering what that is, think Uber, but run by the county. They'll use 9-passenger vans and pick you up wherever you're at, drop you off wherever you want to go. Each ride would be $2.50.
It's about efficiency, just about for the service of the riders, but also financially. You know, it's always a struggle in mass transit to be able to fund ourselves. We rely a lot on grants to be able to make the system operate and run. You know, we want to be fiscally responsible, but we also want to provide a great service to the riders, and that's what it's about.
County Administrator Wes Moreno, he said he thinks that system will completely transform the county's mass transit from the current route-based bus system eventually. The smaller vans, he says, will be more cost-efficient. It'll be easier as well to find drivers. The county's launching an app where you will schedule your rides. Moreno says that app will be available on both iPhone and Android devices. Well, earlier this week, we learned that Pensacola city officials are looking into possible parade route changes for some of the smaller attended parades throughout the year. PPD's Mike Wood weighed in on that yesterday and said it's a change that has been needed for quite a while.
It does cost a lot of money to have these intersections, have officers in these intersections. And the ones that we do know over the years that there are lighter parades and there are heavier parades as far as attendance goes. And changing the route for the lighter ones is something that's being looked into. The command staff is in collaboration with the mayor's office to see if we can get something done about that.
And the city's currently looking at switching some of those parades to run down Bayfront Parkway instead of the standard route, which involves closing off quite a bit of the downtown area, including Garden and Palafox. Mayor D.C. Reeves said some of those changes could be looked at a little bit more in depth once work begins on the Reimagine Palafox project. It's 535 at News Radio 92.3. And right now we've got 76 degrees across the area. Beautiful morning. Our next news is at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Nippon Steel and the Trump administration have asked an appeals court to extend a pause in their litigation for 8 days to give them more time to reach a deal allowing the Japanese firm to buy U.S. Steel for $14.9 billion. The court is likely to approve an extension of the pause, first granted on April 7th, when President Trump ordered a second national security review of the deal. Broadcom has reported second quarter earnings that beat Wall Street expectations, and the chipmaker provided robust guidance for the current period. Broadcom said it expects about $15.8 billion in third quarter revenue versus $15.7 billion expected by Wall Street analysts. Revenue in the last quarter rose 20% on an annual basis. Amazon has announced a massive $10 billion investment plan to expand its data center operations in North Carolina, aiming to boost its artificial intelligence and cloud computing capabilities. The project will create at least 500 high-skilled jobs. Futures are slightly higher ahead of inflation data. That's Your Money Now.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, there are the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. Today at 9, with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 5:39, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday, I had a good chance to talk with our friend Mike Wood, who is the Public Information Officer at the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So we had, man, you know, some weeks you and I talk and it's super nothing, and then some weeks you and I talk and it's a lot. This is one of those lot. Pensacola Village has had, okay, a stabbing, a shooting, and now a shooting that resulted in a homicide. Is that right?
Yeah, it's been unfortunately very busy for us over in Pensacola Village. We made an arrest in the stabbing, and the other shooting where the individual was shot in the leg, we're still working on. And then the homicide, that most recent shooting over there, we're still working on that and hope to have an arrest on that soon.
Are they, I mean, connected, not connected, just really bad coincidental timing?
Yeah, it's the latter.
Okay.
I don't, if there's a connection, I haven't been told about that, but you know, as well as you well know, there sometimes there is a connection, but right now at this point I can't say that for sure.
Okay. And it's like, these are domestic related, these are crime drugs related, a mixture of both, can't quite know, aren't sure yet.
Yeah, a lot of times the people know each other, the suspect and the victim know each other, and that's been the case here.
Okay.
So far, except for the case, the homicide case, that one's still under investigation.
And we also had a bunch of of vehicle incidents, motorcycles and pedestrians. I mean, like four or five of them. Let's start. I think historically, the most distant from us was the racing incident on Three Mile Bridge that you and I talked about last week, where you had a car and a motorcycle racing. He couldn't navigate the curve at Gregory and wound up passing away. Is that right?
Yeah, he did, unfortunately. And like you said, we had two of them. We had another one early Sunday morning at 9th and Bayou. There were two motorcycles traveling at a high rate of speed. One of them lost control right north of 9th and Bayou, pretty much in front of Sacred Heart Hospital. And that was a horrific crash as well. So, you know, we're hoping obviously the best for that individual. But you know, we talk about it all the time. When motorists need to be careful, look for joggers, look for pedestrians, look for motorcycles. But that can go the other way. In all of these cases, the two motorcycle incidents and the pedestrian being hit, it was the fault of the two motorcycles and the pedestrian, not the motor vehicle. So there was only one motor vehicle involved, and that was the pedestrian incident. The two motorcycle incidents were single vehicle crashes. But when you're jogging, when you're crossing crosswalks, you've got to cross with the light. And obviously, when you're on motorcycles, and most of the time motorcyclists are the safest people on the road simply because they have to be. But we've all seen it, just like people in cars. There are going to be people that just have a disregard for the law and their safety and the safety of others around them.
The one note on the racing incident that I wanted to make sure I had right is that the driver of the car that was also racing did not get issued a citation. Is that right?
Yeah. So there was a high rate of speed. And before you charge somebody with racing, you need to be able to completely, you know, prove it 100%.
To document it.
This was, being at a high rate of speed, and she slowed down well before the end of the bridge, and the motorcycle did not, and we felt like that there was just not enough there to charge her.
If two people are racing and there's a crash, is there – what I'm thinking of is like the felony murder rule, right? Like if I drive the car and we go to the convenience station and my friend gets out and shoots and kills somebody, I get a murder charge too because I'm part of the felony. Is there any analog to that when it comes to racing, or is it just the racing charge if you're in a racing incident and somebody dies?
Yeah, it's an enhancement. That is the reason, you know, it's why it happened.
So absolutely, it plays a part into it. It's more of a intent or a complete disregard than it is an accident.
Okay, I thought that was the case, but I wasn't entirely sure. That's why I wanted to ask you. And then also on parade day last Saturday for Fiesta, right before the parade, or really a couple of hours before the parade, we had an incident right there on Garden at Palafox. The incident that happened right before the Fiesta parade on Saturday, you had kind of mentioned it a moment ago, was a jogger who got hit by a car, but they were crossing inappropriately. Is that right?
That's correct. Crossing against the light. So it's not the fault of the vehicle that was involved. It was the pedestrian. It was the jogger. So you just got to – there's a lot of traffic downtown. It's a congested area. And again, most of the time, the joggers are – that's something we normally don't have to worry about. They're very cognizant of traffic laws and ways that things could go bad. But in this incident, the individual just – I don't know if failed to see that he was crossing against the traffic or just did it anyway. I don't know. But it resulted in serious injuries for him, and we're glad he's going to be okay.
Maybe it's worthwhile, we do this periodically, to just kind of talk about the rules, because in Florida we have very particular rules, and in Florida it is not illegal to jaywalk unless you impede traffic, in which case if you are not in a crosswalk or you do not have a light with your permission to go attached to it, like just because it's a crosswalk doesn't mean you're safe, because if it's at a light, you can't cross against them going the right of way. But if you interfere with traffic, it's your fault, not their fault. Even if you get hit, it's your fault, not their fault, right?
That's correct. If you're crossing against the light on a pedestrian crosswalk, you're essentially a pedestrian running a light. It's the same thing as if you were in a vehicle running the light. So, and like you said about jaywalking, there is no such thing in Florida. You can cross the street pretty much anywhere you want to, but when you impede the flow of traffic or you cause a danger or you cause a vehicle to have to slam on the brakes to avoid you, and that causes a rear-end collision, then it's a different story.
And then when it comes to the crosswalk itself, if you are in a marked crosswalk, not at a light against their traffic, right, but a regular old crosswalk like on Main Street or something, cars must stop for you. It would then be their fault. And how long do they have to stay stopped? Is it the entire time that you are in the crosswalk at all, either direction, or is it just when you've cleared their lane of traffic?
It would be, we would like you to stay there and look both ways to make sure there's not more people. But as long as they are clear of your lane of traffic, you can proceed.
Okay. And, you know, I will just tell you, as a pedestrian, you know, and as a bicyclist and as a driver, you know, whenever I'm crossing, like on Main Street is my favorite example of this, I know there's a crosswalk there. I know I have the right of way. But just like I teach my kids, it's better to be alive than right. I never step out in front of traffic unless I see them stop. And it is consistent that you've got about a 50-50 chance that first car is going to stop or not, right? I mean, that's, and which is illegal for them, but that's just the reality of it.
Yeah, you need to, when you're crossing like that, there's two things you got to remember. You need to make eye contact with the driver. Don't assume that he or she sees you. Make eye contact with them. And then once you've done that, you need to look the other way again, because there could be another vehicle coming. And I believe that's what happened from the information that I had on Garden Street. One vehicle passed this jogger, and then he didn't see the other one coming from the other direction. So make eye contact and look again before you cross.
I have also learned that if you are taking a cell phone video of their driving behavior, people are a little bit quicker to stop. So just, you know, just staying there. There's things you can do to make sure your rights are protected. So, which, you know, God forbid you need that video, but it could come in handy. And then there was another incident. We had a 15-year-old that was hit by a car. Is that right, on Saturday?
Yeah, that was also on Saturday at 9th and Barcia. A 15-year-old was hit. He, too, is going to be okay. But it was just a horrible week for motorcycles and pedestrians. And, you know, we had one fatality. And again, we were fortunate that there weren't more.
Yeah, absolutely fortunate that there weren't more. I know you heard me talking yesterday with the mayor. One of the things about the Fiesta Parade was a very low attendance compared to many other parades. And the question of cost, which now with the enhanced security measures post New Orleans, Bourbon Street, you know, that New Year's Eve, is PPD also looking at this question of, you know, what's the good staffing level? What's the cost appropriateness? I mean, I know the mayor's ultimately, or the city council, or whoever's going to ultimately make these decisions, but do you guys have a perspective on the sort of appropriate size of some of these parades and all that?
Yeah, absolutely. There's it does cost a lot of money to have these intersections have officers in these intersections. And the ones that we do know over the years that there are lighter parades and there are heavier parades as far as attendance goes. And changing the route for the lighter ones is something that's being looked into. The command staff is in collaboration with the mayor's office to see if we can get something done about that. Because it's just something that's needed, and it's needed to be looked at for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes the right size is a smaller size, and that's okay. There's no reason to just, out of what pride and habit, say we got to do it this way all the time because we've always done it this way. Hey, I did want to follow up with you briefly. There's one, you and I had talked several times. I talked with the chief even about this. You know, my son had a minor fender bender in the parking lot at Walmart in Creighton, and an officer had, you know, eventually come out and had body camera, which is kind of what we were hoping for. It turns out, the person who ran into my son completely changed his mind and stopped, didn't take the blame, even though he said it many times at the scene of the accident. Oh, it's my fault, totally my fault, in front of the officer and everything. And then changed his tune when it came to the insurance. And so we basically had to come back and request the body cam video. It took a long time to get, which is kind of what I want to talk with you about. But, I mean, it was like, you know, more than a month or two, really, to get this body cam. But we did eventually get it, and they were very polite and wonderful people to help us with that. But I just more wanted to bring it up because people may not realize that you guys are way over demand on the body cam requests and the dash cam requests, right?
Yeah, we have one person taking care of all of those requests that come in. They are addressed in the order that they come in most of the time. In some cases, there are time-sensitive issues involved, and that we will pull a video, take a look at it, and get that out because of time-sensitive issues. And this individual that we have doing this is doing a great job. She's overwhelmed, and I can tell you what's gumming up the gears, if you will, and that's people that will demand body cam video from several officers for no reason, no particular reason. They're not looking for anything in particular, but it's their right to request that.
Yeah.
And then they take that video, and when they find something that's interesting, these are content creators on social media. They find something that's interesting, they post it on their blog or on their whatever they're doing on their social media site, and we see Pensacola police officers up there. And that's how that happened. They're just blindly requesting all kinds of video. And all of that video has to be reviewed and has to be redacted. There are some parts of that video, such as medical issues or facilities or inside someone's home, that one person has to redact, and that takes a lot of time. So we have a lot of people that need this video for legitimate reasons, and then we have those who are just misusing the system, even though it's completely legal. It's their right to do so. But that's what's taking so long.
Boy, I'll tell you that, you know, it's frustrating to hear that because, you know, these are people who are basically turning you guys into their production department, which is kind of disgusting. But, you know, as you say, it is their right to request. But other people who really need it for some legal purpose, and the redaction is hard to do. Like, you can't just dump the video out there because police see all kinds of things. There's all kinds of things that get recorded, including minors that, you know, you cannot disclose. And so it's, you know, that's a big part of what gums up the system a lot of times. So, you know, I just wanted to let people hear that for themselves. So if it's taking a while, there's a reason. It's not like they're going slow or anything like that. We always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth. You have one for me this week, Mike?
Yeah, and we talked about this, I think it was a year or so ago, and it's when you call the police for something, maybe a suspicious person on a bicycle or walking or driving in your neighborhood or something else like that that's minor, that you know, we have to prioritize our calls, and those will be put to the back, and emergencies obviously have to be handled first. But there's been some complaints and some comments on social media that the police department never showed up, and that's simply not true. We keep a record of every call that goes out, who the officer was that responded, and when he or her responded. And also, the dispatcher is going to ask you, would you like contact with the officer? And if you say no, then the officer is not going to come to your home. The officer is not going to have dispatch or call them back yourself and talk to you unless you want that. There are people that simply want to report things, and they don't want the police at their house. But and there's also supervisors and investigators and others in the department that can come by in unmarked cars because they happen to be close when that call comes out. And they go through there looking for that suspicious person or whatever the call is. And to someone who's looking, they may not understand or understand what they're looking at, that a marked car just went through there and handled that call for you. So I can assure you that every single call is going to be addressed. There's going to be an officer that shows up. But if you want contact with the officer, you must tell the dispatcher.
Yeah, no, and that's like, I know whenever we've had to call, and we live in the county, so it's the sheriff's department, but same thing. They always ask, do you want to see an officer? And, you know, usually I'm just trying to make sure that they're informed, you know, so I don't need to talk to somebody. And if you then complain that they didn't come talk to you, well, because you said you didn't need to, you know, let's be fair about this. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time. And thank you to all of your officers for keeping us safe. We really, really appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you need to work on a home improvement project of any kind, you need supplies, you need advice, you need advice. You know, you need advice. You know, I used to have a boss who always said, Andrew, there's only two times I want you to come ask me for advice. And that's when you're not sure what to do and when you are sure what to do, which means always get advice. Well, you know, if you're thinking about fixing something in your home, go to Pensacola Hardware and ask them if it's a good plan. Because they are literally the experts about these things. You know, a lot of times you go to a store and you maybe don't even bother asking. This is kind of any store. You don't even bother asking the attendant there if they can help you because you figure you probably know more than they do. Not a Pensacola Hardware. They are the experts. They have been helping people do stuff since 1851. The institutional knowledge is amazing. Now, this is true if you're doing a little thing as an individual. But if you're building something, okay, as a professional, you know, you work in the construction industry, hey, they are your people. They speak your language. They know how to solve it. They've got it in stock, and they can work with you to make your business more profitable, including if you need to order some special piece that the architect or the engineer specified products, they can take care of that. They do it all the time. So whether you're in the deep end of the pool or the kiddie pool like me, Pensacola Hardware, they can help you. Talk to Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield and just, you know, ask them. See if it's not true. Helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola for 174 years, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
Hurricane season is here, and now is the time to make a plan and know your zone.
In the case of an evacuation, have a plan to go to a hurricane shelter, hotel, or stay with a family or friends. If you're ordered to evacuate, you need to leave. You can rebuild your home, but you cannot rebuild your life. This hurricane season, know your zone. Know your home. Learn more at floridadisaster.org. This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Come out with a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunsets all summer long with your favorite bands. This week, Schofield takes the stage. They are Pensacola's homegrown rock band, and they are going to have a genre-blurring set list that spans from rock, pop, R&B, hip-hop, and even your country favorites. This Tuesday at the Gulfside Pavilion for Bands on the Beach, getting started at 7. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, it's bottom of the ninth. The score is tied. It's time for the big one.
You up for this one, Maverick?
Just a walk in the park, Kazanski.
Go, baby, go. Go, baby, go. Go, baby, go. Are you registered, baby?
See, it's an election song. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Let's see here. Transgender members of the military have a deadline today. Active duty troops have to leave voluntarily or risk being discharged under the Trump administration's reinstated ban. Reserve members will have until tomorrow. That policy was recently upheld by the Supreme Court. One of the escaped inmates from a New Orleans jail is claiming he's innocent on Instagram. A photo posted yesterday appears to show 32-year-old Antoine Massey, one of those inmates still on the lam.
I do.
I can't help it. In a parking lot with the caption, "I'm innocent." Massey's one of the two inmates that's still on the lam after breaking out of the Orleans Justice Center on May 16th.
So a lot of these kids want to grow up and become internet fame, or, you know, Instagram famous, and now he's Instagram innocent.
Yes.
All right. Go on.
I guess that's the new
thing.
That's
a status.
Instagram innocent. Yeah. Some new details out on what caused the death of beloved Cheers actor George Wendt. Health officials say he died of cardiac arrest with heart failure, coronary artery disease, and high blood pressure all playing a role. He passed away May 20th.
All right. The Japanese tried to land a lunar lander on the moon, and it did not work. You know, it's amazing how many people have tried to do this recently and unsuccceeded. They have found all kinds of ways, as Thomas Edison might say, all kinds of ways to not make a lunar lander.